Welcome back to the Marion County Midday Magazine. Our guest today on Let's Talk Pella is Rich Paris with the Marion County Conservation Board.
Well, Rich, thank you so much for taking some time today and joining us. We certainly do appreciate it.
Thank you for asking.
And as we get to summer rolls along here and we're kind of getting into fall, I know hunters are going to be starting to look forward to waterfowl hunting seasons. And if you could tell us a little bit as we get, again, into that beginning part of the season, what are some of the things that Marion County Conservation is doing, some of the things that the DNR is doing to prepare for that season, or those seasons, rather?
As far as with the Marion County Conservation Board, we only have about one or two areas really that are accessible for hunters as far as for waterfowl. So some of those areas with the high water this year, we weren't able to really do anything. Sometimes we'll make sure we have some sort of seeding done in that aspect. But this year with the high water, we weren't able to do anything. And so pretty much this year, it's just going to be kind of a natural state, and there's going to be not be a lot of vegetation, and the hunters are just going to have to kind of look for the birds a little bit harder this year.
So that's going to have definitely an impact on the numbers here locally, is some of the higher water levels that we saw earlier in the spring?
Potentially, yeah, because you're not going to have a lot of food source in the bottoms as far as around Lake Red Rock and upper end of Roberts Creek as far as that goes, because with the high water, there was no vegetation able to grow. So you might have some grow, but it won't put seed heads on, and so waterfowl might not stick around quite as long, so they might migrate, stop for a minute, get a drink, be here for a day or two, and then they're moving on again. So we might not see big buildups.
Okay. And something we were speaking about earlier is determining seasons for the various species of waterfowl that can be hunted over the year. And if you could explain a little bit about that process so folks can have a little bit better understanding of how that works, how a season is determined.
During the summer, there's biologists for various Fish and Wildlife Service, various state agencies, Iowa DNR, South Dakota, North Dakota, and they will go out at various times during the year, usually later summer, and they will do surveys as far as trying to locate nesting pairs to see if the nest, as far as what kind of broods they're having. That's determined sometimes by the amount of water available, pond counts they call them. And then through the summer, then they will take surveys, and there are predetermined areas that they do it every year. So it's a consistent area with a consistent amount of counts. And from that, then, they will count broods as they hatch them through the summer, and they will count brood numbers on these ponds and so forth like that. That helps them through formulas and aerial surveys and various other data gathering methods that they have to determine the populations of waterfowl for that particular year. So if they had a good hatch or not as good a hatch, so at that time then they know they have a good idea as far as the population numbers and how many waterfowl are going to be heading south then. At that time they can start kind of predicting the numbers and the levels. Then it's passed on to other individuals to help set the seasons.
And so what are some of those parameters that they look for to try to determine what season? Are we looking at a larger number of birds would mean a longer season, things like that?
Yes. The Fish and Wildlife Service has, I think, three criteria anymore, and depends on the waterfowl counts. If they don't have very high counts, they go to maybe a smaller bag limit plus a shorter season. Maybe they only have a 45-day season. On the upper end, on the very top end, if they have a large waterfowl count, then they'll have maybe a 60 or 65-day season with an expanded bag limit. And like I say, those numbers are determined more by the Fish and Wildlife Service. Maybe on the low end, you might only be able to shoot 4 waterfowl, and on the upper end, you might be able to shoot 6, depending on the species.
And so depending on the species, depending on the year, all those things change and can change year to year?
That's correct. We're in the Mississippi Flyway, and there is a Mississippi Flyway Council, which is made up of members of Department of Natural Resources from every state in that flyway, which goes all the way down to Louisiana, all the way up to North and South Dakota. Then that council gets together and looks at the data from this summer as far as populations and brood counts and so forth like that. And from that, then, they determine if the population's up, stasis, or if it's low. And then from that point, then, they establish the parameters as far as length of season and bag limits, and then have certain dates in there, let's just say from 1st of September through the end of December, that each individual state in that flyway then can set their seasons based on that those numbers from the council.
So are those seasons then between states, are those based upon one another? Is there some interaction there between regions or between states, or is it all independently of each region and each state?
Once the council establishes population numbers as far as what how many waterfowl have been coming down the flyway, then basically, they set certain days. I'm just going to throw it arbitrarily out, say September 15th through January 30th. Okay, so now every state in that flyway has to determine when they think that population of birds, waterfowl migration, is going to come through. So they try and set their seasons to correlate with that, so hunters have the best opportunity when those populations migrate through.
So it's a very real-time sort of a endeavor to try to get these seasons just right when there's the best chance for hunters to come in with a good haul?
That's correct, yeah. And that's a lot of that's based on tradition as far as when they see that migration come through in previous years. Like one of the early seasons, we'll say, will be like for 5 days in September. And that takes advantage of the early migrators, like blue-winged teal or wood ducks or something like that. So historically, Department of Natural Resources personnel know that certain species or a certain amount of waterfowl are going to migrate through earlier. So they'll set a season for hunters to have the opportunity to bag those birds and then set the season later on for the larger migration, which is predominantly in this area, mallards, gadwalls, pintails, so forth like that.
All right. And you spoke earlier a little bit about the high water levels earlier this year and how that might have something of a negative impact on some of the numbers this year. Is that going to be lower than in years past? How does that compare to years previously?
What it amounts to is as those birds move south, they will migrate so far, and then they'll stop and rest. And usually they look for large bodies of water, which Red Rock is a large body of water, and then on the upper end of Red Rock especially, because we'll have some flooded marshy areas. At a normal level, grass would grow up, pigweed, smartweed, some natural vegetative grasses would grow up. And then the Army Corps of Engineers puts on what they call a fall migration raise in the water level. So they'll raise the lake 2 feet. Well, then that vegetation floods. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a food source for the waterfowl then. Well, there won't be any of that present this year around the lake. So that may inhibit how long they stay here. They might just come in, like say, and get a drink of water, we say, spend a night resting. If the wind's right the next day, they're
gone.
Again.
Okay. So do you have any tips for hunters that might be looking towards a little bit of a lean year, perhaps?
I just think hunters are going to have to do a little scouting. They're going to have to go out and see if they can find some concentration of birds or just take a drive around the lake occasionally to see if they see birds maybe trading up and down the lake or going out to feed. Because traditionally, I mean, when you get a northwest wind, a cold front out of the northwest, traditionally waterfowl will move on that cold front. This year, they might not stop here. They might just come by and say, hey, there's no cover here. We're not going to stick around. We're going to keep going. So the Iowa Department of Natural Resources maintains some refuges up on the upper end of Lake Red Rock. So traditionally, that's where the birds will congregate because obviously they're not getting harassed there. So in the past, we've had anywhere from 50, 60, 70,000 waterfowl that'll build up for a while. This year, we might only get maybe 10, 15,000 at one time. So that makes it a little more difficult for the hunter. So I really think they're just going to have to go out and drive around, scout, try and maybe find some small bodies of water, like farm ponds or something like that, that maybe the birds have found where they can find some vegetation and find some food sources as far as that goes. So
as always, just a lot of work out there in the field to have a good day, right?
Yeah, it's not just about putting a boat in and going out and pulling a trigger. I mean, you're going to do some work and possibly go out and find the birds and then find out what their habits are.
All right, very good. Well, Rich, thank you so much for the insight and the information. We sure do appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Again, that was our guest, Rich Paris, on today's Let's Talk Pella. Today's Let's Talk program is available on demand at KNIAKRLS.com and the Radio Audio Media Player. Stay tuned to the Marion County Midday Magazine for your official weather eye meteorologist forecast on KNIAKRLS.